From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and today we have with us our Executive Vice President, Ivan Butts. Good afternoon, Ivan.
Good afternoon, Bob.
We're going to start talking under the shadow of a postal crisis, and that is a financial crisis because the Postmaster General has indicated that there is a strong probability that the Postal Service will run out of money at the end of this fiscal year, which is September 30th, 2020. But I want to start on an upbeat note, and that's something that was reported just last week by the Pew Research Center, and the Pew Research Center evaluates different federal agencies on an annual basis. And Ivan, and we've spoken about this a little bit earlier, last week the Pew Research Center found that the Postal Service once again is the highest rated federal agency. It has a 91%. Let me repeat that. A 91% favorability rating by Americans. Just in case one suspects that there's a partisan divide, that is, the Democrats or Republicans have a different opinion of the Postal Service, let me sort of advise everyone. 91% of Democrats who were surveyed have a favorable rating of the Postal Service, and 91% of Republicans similarly have a favorable rating of the United States Postal Service. Ivan, does that surprise you?
No, Bob, it doesn't surprise me at all on either point. One, the Postal Service, year in and year out, is consistently ranked as one of the most trusted federal agencies in the government. So that's nothing new for us. Again, it's the hard work and dedication of all the employees of the Postal Service delivering America's mail day in, day out that's earned them that credibility. And it's not surprising that it's among across party lines that this credibility is shown, because obviously we service all of America. We go to the ruralest parts of America as well as the most urban parts of America. So we touch every household every day, and we deliver America's mail. So no, I'm not surprised at all about the survey, and I'm not surprised about the broad support that the Postal Service has by both parties of our great nation.
Something that troubles me, and I know troubles most postal employees, is that despite this high favorability rating, it appears that the Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, and people in the White House are dead set against any congressional financial assistance for the Postal Service in order for it to stem the tide of the lost revenue directly attributable to the current pandemic. Because as you have heard and I have heard and folks within the postal community have heard, the Postmaster General reported that we will lose $13 billion in revenue directly attributable to this pandemic. I find it hard to reconcile the president's objection to financial assistance to the Postal Service in light of directly attributable revenue loss to the pandemic and the high favorability ratings, and that the Postal Service is really the only deliverer to rural America.
Well, you know, I don't know either. Neither one of us are in that inner circle to be able to understand what the full meaning is of not wanting to keep the Postal Service sustainable through this COVID crisis and keep America's mail running and keep the medicines and other essential services that America is relying on the Postal Service to deliver flowing. So I can't really speak to that, but I do. I read a couple articles, and I think the first was when we first got the vice president was made in charge of a task force for the coronavirus. Then we heard that there was another task force created by the senior advisor and son-in-law of the president. And a part of his team were the executives from FedEx and UPS. So now, and then recently, just this week, we see an article where the president has tapped into 100 corporate executives to advise him on coronavirus. And you look at that list and you see the corporate leaders of FedEx and UPS. So we see these executives in the inner circle. And I would have to say, honestly, two executives who are the cheerleaders for the demise through privatization of the Postal Service. You see these two executives in the inner circle of our executive branch of the federal government. So I think, you know, me, I think I talked on one of the podcasts about reading the tea leaves. So if you look at the tea leaves, I think the ingredients are there for bad things to happen to America's Postal Service. Now, we as Americans, we have a right to speak up and voice that. So I think we're at a time now where I think we have to start voicing what our Postal Service means to us, not just as employees, but as Americans.
You talk about standing up and alerting America to the importance of the Postal Service, and it's almost like a lot of our print media have all of a sudden woken up. The New York Times did a major editorial just a day or two ago supporting the Postal Service in the nature of pandemic. And usually you don't see the New York Times take a position in support of the Postal Service.
Absolutely. That was an excellent article,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So a must read.
We encourage everyone to go online and read the editorial. I believe it was from Wednesday this week. That would have been Wednesday the 15th of April. And we ask you to look at it, but also the Washington Post, Time Magazine, and some smaller periodicals like the Albany Times Union and the Chicago Sun-Times has also put out articles in support of the Postal Service. And even in Mitch McConnell's home state, the Hoptown Chronicle from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, put out a very strong article or editorial in support of the Postal Service. So it seems that this attack on the Postal Service by some folks within the administration and some within Congress has resonated with America.
Yeah, and I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for America's or some of the print media that they're starting to understand and pick up on how valuable the Postal Service is to America in times of crisis. We've known over the course of our history as an agency how we have stood up for America in time of crises. So it's no surprise for us, but I think America is starting to see the worth and the value of the brave men and women of the Postal Service to deliver, again, in this pandemic, their medical supplies that are critical to their survival, their essential services, their essential supplies that are critical for their survival if they're going to stay have to shelter in place over a period of time. The true worth and the true value of the Postal Service is being seen by the hard work and dedication of our employees every day. And America is taking notice, and we appreciate that. And hopefully we can translate that into the sustainable force that we need, or the sustainable finances that we need to stay the course for America through this pandemic.
Now, you spoke about the heroic efforts by around 600,000 postal employees who continue to deliver the mail, process the mail, and accept the mail, including our folks who actually are on the front lines managing this crisis and making sure the services are provided. But within those 600,000 heroes who are continuing to make sure the mail flow, there are double heroes out there, because a lot of folks don't realize around 100,000 of the postal employees are like you, veterans of the military. And, you know, for the Postal Service to be abandoned by folks in Washington, it's sort of like abandoning our people who've served their country twice now.
Yeah, that's something I've always said, even when we went through organizational changes within the Postal Service, that was something I always said, that, you know, we hear, you know, about, you know, how we value the men and women who who put their life on the line in defense of this country and the military. And the Postal Service stands as the top employer of veterans. So if we have this love for the military, shouldn't that love show to the Postal Service, the number one employer of veterans? I mean, that's just in addition to the great work all of our employees do. You have this added element of us being the agency that shows love, care, and concern for our veterans.
We both recognize that the assistance that we are asking for and that the Postmaster General is currently asking for is not reforming the entire Postal Service. This is to get us through this crisis. Postmaster General has asked for $25 billion in emergency assistance and legislation introduced by Congressman Nuggets from Colorado. H.R. 6425 sort of puts that $25 billion in assistance actually into a statutory framework.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the Postmaster General is also looking for $25 billion in an enhanced borrowing authority to help stabilize not only the finances, but to capitalize the Postal Service because it needs to resources to continue to deliver, and as well as past debt of around $14 billion to be relieved of. So this isn't about postal reform like we're used to. This is about postal survival.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we heard the comments on the call that was made by the Postmaster General for funding. And again, you're absolutely right. We're looking for the $25 billion in emergency funding right now. And that's to help with the sustainability through this pandemic event. And then there's obviously some modernization issues that still need to be addressed for the Postal Service. And then the elimination of debt and the consolidation of loans. So, you know, all in total, I guess that made up her $75 billion ask. But, you know, what we need to see is what you stated, and that is the sponsorship, the support, the passes, the creation of sister legislation in the Senate for H.R. 6425. And that's the emergency funding bill for the Postal Service for $25 billion for the sustainability of this agency through this pandemic event to continue to serve America and by delivering its critical medicines needed and its essential supplies for survival in this pandemic event.
Just so our listeners know, today is Friday, the 17th of April, and there are currently 27 co-sponsors to H.R. 6425 by Congressman Nuggets. One of the recent podcasts, in fact, last week's podcast, we had Chairman Jerry Connolly from the House Subcommittee on Government Operations speaking very passionately about the need for all members of the postal extended postal family. That's not only postal supervisors, that's not only NAPS members, that's not only employees of the Postal Service, but the extended family to take an active role in encouraging members of both the House and of the Senate to basically advocate on behalf of the United States Postal Service and to increase and to share the love and to promote that this is the most favored agency out there.
Absolutely, Bob. And we as an association, we joined right in with our champion, Representative Connolly, on that effort. We sent out letters. We conducted Zoom telecons with all our state legislative chairs, conducted a Zoom telecon with our national executive board to discuss that very issue about not just empowering our members to support, but have them empower their family members, their friends, and their associates that they reach out to on letter writing, email, a phone call campaign to their representatives and their U.S. senators on support of legislation for the sustainability of the Postal Service. I agree. with Representative Connolly wholeheartedly. It's time for all of us as Americans to stand up for this agency in this time of this national disaster to make sure that the Postal Service can continue to support America in line with that 91% favorability and trust that they have instilled upon this agency.
Assume that we're not able to convince our individuals in the Senate to basically impress upon the White House, because the House has a vehicle that they could use with regard to pandemic aid to assist the Postal Service. And they, in fact, tried to do it during the third phase of a stimulus package, and it was rejected by the White House. I mean, reports in the Washington Post and through members of Congress that we have spoken with indicated that the Treasury Department was vehemently opposed to any type of financial assistance provided to the Postal Service. So let's assume for one second that the Senate doesn't push the White House, that they cave in to the White House's recalcitrance in this. Comes September 30th, the Postal Service runs out of cash. Who is going to be responsible when Social Security checks are not mailed out to senior citizens in October? Who's going to be responsible when mail-order drugs are not received in mailboxes because the Postal Service has been hamstrung by recalcitrance in not providing the emergency assistance directly linked to the COVID crisis?
Well, Bob, I mean, obviously it's going to be those who fail to take the necessary steps to ensure that the Postal Service would be able to complete its mission through this time where we're in this national emergency situation. So, but one thing I do say is that the third of the senators who are looking to be elected or in November, again, they work for us in our respective states who have those senators. They work for you. And I think, you know, we as Americans, we have a right to expect that the leaders we vote into office will advocate for our needs, advocate for the things that we need to be sustainable. So, again, we have an opportunity, you know, God forbid if September 30th comes and the post office has to shutter services and maybe medicines don't go out and Social Security checks don't go through the United States Postal Service any longer. God forbid that. But, you know, also in saying that, we have a voice at the ballot in November.
And that is the issue that we need to bring to every member of Congress, whether they be a member of the House of Representatives or a member of the United States Senate or the President of the United States. Do they stand with the Postal Service or they are against the Postal Service? Plain and simple, that is a single issue that every postal employee must consider as they go to the ballot box, as they speak and they urge candidates and incumbents to stand up and respond to what is absolutely necessary for our members.
Well, I would hope that, you know, the answer to that statement, that question you just made, even at this time, would turn to a resounding "I'm with you" by all branches of our governmental leadership, that we stand with the Postal Service. We understand the value of the United States Postal Service to America, and we will support the United States Postal Service for America. That's what my hope would be. You know, only time will tell. But what I do want to say is I appreciate the fact that we're engaging as NAPS members, as NAPS legislative leaders across this country. You're engaging in the process. You're engaging your members in the process. You're engaging your family in the process. And I thank you for that. I think this is how the movement starts. We haven't finished, but this is how the movement starts for sustainability of the Postal Service. And you guys are helping make that happen every day. I appreciate your email updates. I appreciate your comments. and how you're getting the message out there to our legislators. And just keep it up. Keep up the efforts. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ivan. Until next week.
I'm going to bend right down and write myself a letter and make